Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, in the 1950s, the American architect Frank Lloyd Wright established Usonia, a collection of houses he had designed in Westchester County in New York. His idea was to provide affordable housing with modern design, something we could all do with a bit of now. And those original residents were so pleased with what they had bought, they stayed there for the rest of their lives. Ronald Riesley moved there with his wife in 1950, and he still lives there. He's the last of the original residents, and not too long ago, he celebrated his 100th birthday. Roland, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So could you tell us the circumstances in which you first heard about the houses that were designed by Frank Lloyd Wright?
Well, my wife and I were just married in 1950. We lived in Manhattan. We wanted to find some place to put down roots and start a family. And if we saw something that we liked, we couldn't afford it. If we could afford it, we didn't like it. And I heard about a community in northern Westchester, supervised by Frank Lloyd Wright, building affordable homes. Let's go take a look. And that was Usonia, which Frank Lloyd Wright had designed in northern Westchester.
Mm.
So we came to take a look. There were about 10 homes then beginning to be occupied. And we were greeted with open arms. The enthusiasm of these people for what they were doing, what they were creating, was just so infectious. We'd been given some money for a wedding trip. We said, let's join Usonia. So we joined Usonia. When you joined Usonia, which was intending to build affordable homes supervised by Frank Lloyd Wright, you chose a site and then an architect to be Frank Lloyd Wright or one of the five or six architects of whom he approved. Of course, we being ordinary people didn't dream of approaching Frank Lloyd Wright. That's something ordinary people could do.
Mm.
But David Henkin, the founder of the community, said, you know, he's going to be here in a few weeks. I'm going to show him your land and tell him about you. Maybe he'll want to design a house for you in one ear and out the other. But a few weeks later, David said he's here. I showed him. I told him, he's interested. Call him. So I called him. And that's how we chose Frank Lloyd Wright.
Fantastic. And then while he was designing the house, did he consult with you a lot?
Yes and no. He wanted to have talk extensively with us about who we were, how we thought we were going to live, as if you know when you're 26 years old. But he invited us to come out to Taliesin and talk to him, which we did. It was very impressive to be at Taliesin. So he had some idea of who we were, what we wanted. And he soon sent us the first set of preliminary drawings. And my wife said, but look, there's no broom closet. And we told him we had a lot of books. He didn't provide us much book space. So he was then staying at his apartment at the Hotel Plaza in New York. I said, well, I'll go and see him. It's not so easy. Even though I'd met him a few times by then, I felt pretty diffident. And I approached him like, pardon me for breathing up your air, Mr. Wright. He said, come on, Roland. You're my client. I'm your architect. I'll redesign your house as many times as I have to until I've satisfied all of your needs. You have to speak up, otherwise you'll take what you get. Well, that was a remarkable exchange. I don't think any other client had that experience. But it did happen to us, and we got along just perfectly. Then on everything we needed, every question we had, he answered promptly. And in fact, he became a mentor and a friend over the years. That was unusual. Most people who knew anything about Frank Lloyd Wright knew he was an arrogant, egocentric, not a nice person, left his wife and five children, ran off with the wife of a client, houses cost too much, the roof leak. Oh, great architect, Falling Water, Guggenheim Museum. But that impression of his personality obscured the hundreds of wonderful buildings he designed because people sort of saw that stereotype of who he was.
Mm.
That was not our experience at all. We had a wonderful experience with him.
When you moved into your house, Roland, were there many more houses being built in that area as well?
Well, they were gradually being built over the next few years. We have 100 acres here and intended to have 50 homes. We had actually 48. And they were were completed over the next few years. They all cost much more than expected. That's what happened with architects. But everybody loved their homes, and the community became bonded. Here we were out in the woods of northern Westchester, surrounded by great estates, and pretty much dependent on each other. Young families, barely able to afford what we were trying to build, but it bonded us. We were so committed to what we were doing, and thought we were on the right path, and we're pretty much dependent on each other, and so we became like an extended family.
And I assume then that all those young families valued those houses and they stayed in them.
Well, yes. For the first 40 years of our existence, 40 years, only 12 of the 48 homes changed hands. Six of those to next generations of those families, five of whom still live here. The people who grew up in those 40 years felt so connected to each other. It's interesting. You know, the first 40 years ended 25 years ago. So things have changed. People now can buy houses and change it. But for the first 40 years, nothing happened. People who were interested in Usonia, they talked to a realtor, they say, don't bother, they never sell. And it was true, for 40 years, they didn't sell. Mm. What happened, however, all these young families eventually had more money or more children and essentially outgrew their homes. But rather than move, they wanted to stay here and build additions. So we have a requirement in Usonia. Any exterior change must be approved as sympathetic to the existing design, seamless, as though designed that way in the first place. And we've held to that. So virtually all of the homes in Usonia, except one round, the round stone house, all of them have had additions over the years. But people coming to Kansas, I know where they are, but if you drove through, you would not know. They look as if they're designed that way in the first place. But the families stayed together. Interestingly, the people who grew up during those 40 years now live all over the world. There are only a few of us still live here in Usonia. But they remain in touch with each other. And we have a gathering every 10, 15, 20 years. They come from all over. They bring their wives, their husbands, their children, their grandchildren. And they still feel connected to each other and to the community. At our last gathering, we had a photograph taken. Everybody who was in playgroup. Playgroup was our little day camp here.
Mm.
25 people turned up. Some of whom had not seen each other for 50 years, 60 years. So that there is that powerful sense of connection, which is unique.
Yeah.
Not unusual for suburban families to occasionally form lifelong friendships. But for a whole community to have that sense of connectedness is remarkable. And it says something about what we did here.
Yeah. And are the people living there now, Roland, how many are, you know, the original occupants, such as yourself?
Well, I'm the last original member. I'm also the last original client of Frank Lloyd Wright, still living in a home he designed. But we have about, the descendants of those first families that stayed here are still here. We have about four or five members of Usonia now who grew up here originally. Otherwise, they're all new people. Some have changed several times. Now, the people who buy these houses now don't have the same sense of connectedness that we had, but there is osmosis works, and most of them have some sense of wanting to be part of the community. So we are still a community, but not with the same degree of connection that bonded us over those early years.
Mm. So within the community, Roland, would generally speaking, would people know of you, know that you're the last of the, that you're...
Yes, they know.
That you're a centenarian, you're the last of the people there.
Yeah, and they also know that I'm now about to be 101. And for my 100th birthday, we had a huge birthday party here. Everybody came. The house was wonderful, and people were inside and outside, and it was nice. Nice event.
Yeah. I must ask, Roland, did your wife get the broom closet?
Oh, yes. And then some. And bookshelves. We have bookshelves in every room now.
Okay.
Everywhere. All the book space we need.
Roland, thank you so much for speaking with us today. Roland Riesley, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.